Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and I love that idea that Corn was singing on Tuesday night, this cry of open the eyes of our hearts. And it's really what we're going to be talking through today in the sermon. And actually, Corn, if you're up for it, would you just pray over us that we would really be opened up to that?
Lord, we believe you are mighty and powerful, and that we can do all things when we're connected to you. Lord, your grace and mercy are abundant, and Lord, you are our source of power. Help us to tap into that. Help us to open the eyes of our hearts. Lord, we want this time to be pleasing to you, and we want you to be dwelling in us and acting through us. So open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, and help us to see your plan for our lives and our missions. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Corin. And we have the Nativity right here. This is our final Sunday before Christmas. And we won't be together again in this room until after Christmas. I do want to invite you guys. Chrissy and I are going to do a live stream on Facebook Christmas Day at 7 o'clock at night. If you guys want to join our family for like a Christmas devotional, but we won't be together in this room, and yet, again, until after Christmas Day. And so today, we really want to put our focus on what did Jesus do for us by coming for us. But we're not going to be in our regular passages in Luke or in Matthew. We're going to be in Isaiah 49. And before we get there on screen, though, I wanted to kind of prime the pump of what we're going to be reading about. So when we're reading this prophecy that I believe is about Jesus, as we're reading that, it's going to talk about how much Jesus has done for us. And I wanted us to start with just a fresh look at what Jesus is currently doing for us. And there's probably a lot of folks in the room I could go to and get a fresh testimony about what is Jesus doing actively in your life right now. But I picked a couple people because I love the way that this story involves a group of people at Maywood praying and God moving, you know? And so I'm gonna invite Heather B and also her mom Heather to come up, and they're gonna share a little bit about what's been going on in their lives. So I got a chance to be a part of a Bible study group this last year with Heather and several other leaders here at Maywood, and we're going to get to that in just a minute. But I wanted to start us off with just before Jesus got involved in a big way this year, we're going to be talking a little bit about what Heather B's life was like before and after. And maybe, Heather, you could give us kind of the mom perspective, and then Heather B, if you could kind of give us your perspective. Prior to this experience, what was life like?
So as her mom, I got to watch her, and she was constantly negative about herself, as if the enemy was just telling her all these lies about her all day long. She's a beautiful, artistic, super sweet individual, and she didn't see that in herself. She draws a lot, and her drawings were gore and sad and just not very happy drawings. She struggled academically really bad. No matter how hard she tried, it was like she didn't get anywhere. And she tried super hard, and she just struggled and struggled. You know, and the biggest thing was when she expressed that she had feelings of maybe the world would be better without her. So that really hit home really hard.
And Heather B, I know it's hard to hear your mom talk, and then you've got to talk. But do you want to tell us any things that stick out to you prior to this change? What was life like?
Again, pretty much what my mom said.
We got to go real close. Hold it real close. Yep.
Pretty much what my mom said. I was very negative. I still am, but not as negative. I have a therapist now. I don't know what to say. Yeah, pretty much what my mom said. I was very negative. I hated myself. I just didn't want, I was like, what if I was gone? Would everything be better? Would life be easier for everyone else? But yeah, I just hated myself. Like, I couldn't really think of any really positive things in life.
And so you guys can instantly imagine somebody you love talking that way and how your heart goes out to them. And so Heather Gloria, like, came to our flight training group, and tell us what happened then that night.
So one night we wanted to get to know each other a little better, and they asked each of us about what ache or pain do you have in your life? And the only thing that stuck out to me was I hurt to watch my daughter go through these things. And I didn't understand why. And everything I did physically and in our life to fix it just didn't work. So that was my ache. And I asked for prayer to build her confidence, to let her know that those lies that the enemy is telling her are not true. She is beautiful, she is talented, and she is who God says she is, no matter what any of this world tells her.
So we prayed as a group, and lots of other people I know have been praying. We'll talk a little bit more about that maybe later. But Heather B., I know you guys had a conversation that week, and even maybe that evening. I can't quite remember how that worked. But tell us, like, from the moment that prayer happened, what changes started to happen in your life?
Well, I got my first straight A's, or even, I bet, A's at all. And I started feeling confident. I started feeling pretty. I just started feeling better. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, I've never got any good grades. I've never felt more positive in my life. It's like, I don't know what's happening, but like, life is just awesome right now. Like the day of school, it was just the best day ever. I was like, oh my goodness, like, why is today going so well? Something has to go bad. Happens every time. So I was like, oh my goodness, it's amazing. Like, what's happening? I'm getting good grades. Everything's just going so smoothly. It's like, something has to happen when I get home. Something. Like, a teacher call, something. It's like, there has to be one bad thing. That's usually how it goes. But there wasn't. That day was just awesome. And then as soon as I get home, I was like, and then when my mom got home, I was like, Mom, I have to tell you about my day. And then so then she tells me everything that she's done. I was like, wow. All of that, just a little thing like that can make such a big drastic imprint.
So Heather, tell me, like, before that day and then after that day, what was your view as far as Jesus getting involved in your life?
I was just kind of there. I was like, okay, I guess I believe in this just because my mom does. I don't know what I believe in. And then, like, after that day, I was like, okay, there's no way this is fake. It just happened in front of my eyes. It's right there. Like, I don't think you could get any more clear than that.
So Heather, let's hear some of your perspective about what has changed and how you see Jesus growing in Heather B.
So she walked out of the bathroom one morning and she's like, Mom, I feel pretty. And I mean, that right there just melted my heart because she's never said that. I mean, and then her school, like, she has the, no offense, boys, she has the best grades in our house. Best grades out of all the kids in the house, you know, and she works diligently to get them, and they're coming easy to her. And for her, her drawings have smiles on their faces. There's flowers. There's brighter colors. There's just, I mean, her drawings, I feel like, are a picture of what is going on inside of her. And it's the complete opposite of how she used to be.
So, Heatherby, anything else you want to tell us about who you see Jesus as? Who is Jesus?
I don't think it's describable. Yeah. Like, I suck at describing things. Yeah. It's just kind of there.
Yeah. But at this point now, what's something that you want to do for Jesus or do with Jesus?
Can you say that again?
Sorry to just throw something new at you, but... Are you excited about you and Jesus doing anything? Is there anything you're like, I want to do this for Jesus? Or when something's hard, I go to Jesus?
I mean, for my dad is going through a lot of things. I won't get too depth in that. So, like, I just hope one day that he will one day have Jesus in him. Like, he knows he's real. My Uncle Hayden told me one day that I'm the only one that can fix him. And that put a lot of on my shoulders. I was like, what? Me? Why me? Okay, I'm sorry.
No, Heather, I appreciate you being open and honest with us. And the passage we're about to read is going to talk about how Jesus is the one who has that burden on him, that burden to be a light to people that are distant from God. But we get to work with Jesus. But the responsibility is really on Jesus' shoulders and your dad's. And just like... So we get to hear the story today of all this good stuff happening. And I know there's parents of other teenage kids and stuff that are thinking like, I want that. Can we just get some people together and pray for 10 minutes and make that happen? But I know, as I've even just told people we're going to give a testimony today, I've heard from different youth leaders at Maywood, different couples at Maywood. I mean, one lady was telling me her and her husband pray for you like every week at least, and they have for a very long time. Another guy was talking about like, trying to help in the youth for a long time with you. And so there's just a lot of folks at Maywood doing hard work. And then in this moment, we get to reap the benefit of that. And sometimes there's a lot of hard work maybe happening in your dad's life or other people's lives. But in this moment, we get to see when Jesus shows up and somebody gets a real chance at belief. And you could have turned away, Heather, be like, that day went great and your mom told you it was because she prayed. But you still had to choose to have faith in Jesus. And that's why it wasn't just a great day. It's been 6-7 months since this happened, and so much is different. So we're super excited for you both. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thank
you. Yeah. God is good. Any of you that have... if you've had anybody that you love say stuff like Heather B was saying, you would cut off your own arm to try to put some truth into their heart, right? And to see like Jesus is the one who can actually get it done. So we're going to look at a passage of scripture. Some scholars debate about what is this passage really about. It's a prophecy from the book of Isaiah, but I believe it's pointing us to Jesus. And I think it has a couple of things to show us today about Jesus. So it's in Isaiah 49. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Listen to me, you islands, hear this, you distant nations." And I take this as Jesus himself speaking. He says, "Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, God has spoken my name." Then in verse 2, sorry, we're cutting off a little bit there. "My mouth is like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. And he made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver." Also, in the book of Revelations, it will talk about Jesus' mouth being like a sword. This idea that Jesus can say words that cut to the heart of people. There's a lot of times that we know the right thing and we say maybe even the right thing to somebody and it doesn't penetrate. It doesn't get into where it can change them. Jesus is the one who God gave words almost like a sword that can cut to a person, that can really get inside and change somebody. Okay? The next verse, verse 3, he said to me, this is like God talking to Jesus, is how I would take it, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But then verse 4, I want us to spend a little bit of time on, let's go to verse 4. "But I said, I have labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing at all. I want to pause there. Now, again, this is Jake Taylor's interpretation of what this passage is about. But I view it as like Jesus has this struggle when he pours out all the life that he has, all the goodness that he has. When he pours it out on us, I think there's this struggle of like, what is going to amount from everything that I've done? Because if you look at us, Maywood and just Christians in general, we struggle to be faithful, right? To live up to what Jesus did for us. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before Jesus goes to the cross, he's saying, God, is there some other way? Because of the great cost that Jesus has to pay. So he came as a baby for us. He spent his life here on earth to be an example for us and to prepare himself to be the perfect sacrifice for us and to be our perfect priest. But you have to wonder, is there a conversation between Jesus and God about like, is this person going to ever get it? Are they going to really do what I'm calling them to do? But just like in the garden, Jesus always has faith in God. It says, yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with God. Just like in the garden, Jesus never doubts God. He's always ready to give anything to God, to trust God. He gives himself to us out of trust for God. Then we go to verse 5. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant. Verse 6. To bring Jacob back to him and to gather Israel to himself. For I'm honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. So this idea of Jesus is calling to bring the Jewish nation back to God. And that would be the typical view in Isaiah's day, is like that's what God is about. God's about bringing the Jews towards him, revealing to him. But then look at this next verse in verse 6. He says, God says, it is too small a thing. I want you to remember that phrase. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob. What I believe God is saying here is that what Jesus does on earth, it's too small for just to save Israel, just to save the Jewish nation. People at that time would have thought that's a huge task, and that's as far as they would have thought, right? Jesus coming wasn't just about saving Israel. Let's look at this next verse. I'm going to just read it out here. I'm getting a little confused. Sorry, guys. Okay, so verse 6, he says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. So at this point, when Isaiah is giving this prophecy, like that's not in anybody's mind, that God wants to save everybody. And Jesus' purpose in coming to earth was to be a light, to open that door for every single person to have that access to God. So here, the chapter goes on. I was going to read you the rest. It talks about the suffering servant becoming honored even among kings. And we see that even though Jesus suffers on earth, he's given ultimate honor by God. But I want to just stop us right there in verse 6. And that idea, it's too small a thing just to save the people that you're expecting to to be saved. God's saying here, it's too small a thing for Jesus just to reach those people that we would expect. That Jesus' mission is to be a light to people that no one expected to come to him. For us in the room, think about the miracles that God has done in the people of Maywood. Do you think God is saying it's too small a thing for just to save the people in this room and in the fellowship hall and the youth chapel on Facebook? Did he do all that he's done in us just for us? I believe God's done so much in this group of believers, and he has incredibly high expectations for what needs to get accomplished through all that Jesus has done for us. And I want you this Christmas season right now to be changing in your mind, who are the people that God wants to save? Who are the people that Jesus wants full of his light? Because there's somebody in your life who, when you've interacted with them in the past, you have not had hope that they are going to change today. And so you've had these interactions where they've just been your car mechanic, or they've just been the person at Walmart, or they've just been your cousin that comes over once a week, or whatever it is. And you've not been open to the idea that God wants to reach into their life and change them. You've not been open that something could happen today and it would be like flipping a switch from darkness to light. Because people worked with Heather B for years, people prayed for years, but it's when Jesus decided to flip that switch and her whole life changed. And it was miraculous. I mean, it was like immediate change from one evening to the next. Who else does God want to do that sort of thing in? Because for Heather Gloria, she had enough faith to say, I'm going to share all this stuff about my daughter, this group of people, because she believed that prayer could change the situation. She believed that Jesus was needed in the situation. So she opened that door. That's what prayer is doing. We're inviting God into something when we ask in prayer. She was humble enough to not just do it on her own or fix it on her own, but to say, I need some other people praying. And then honestly, Jesus was gracious enough to work in that moment. I don't understand the ins and outs of the why or the timing. But I know when we get together and pray as a group, it matters. And then Heather B. had that choice when she got home from school and had a great day. How is she going to take it? Everybody you interact with is always going to have a choice between faith or unbelief. But we don't open all the doors we could open for them to have that choice. So, final thoughts. I'm going to close this out a little early so we can do an activity together. So, here's my final thought. It's too small a thing for you to just get over some sin in your life and to live an average life. It's too small a thing for you to just be a decent member of your family or for you to just hold down a job. It's too small a thing, all that Jesus did for you. He wants to be a light through us. The only time this passage in Isaiah gets quoted in the New Testament, it's actually quoted by Paul and Barnabas. That verse 6 gets quoted by them to say, God wants to shine through us to bring new people to him that no one else thinks matter. I believe Jesus wants to live out this purpose in this time on earth through us. He wants to be a light to people that other people think have no hope through us. So how we do it is you got to really actually love Jesus. You got to really actually have faith in Jesus. You got to stop when you see a sunrise and praise him. You got to spend some time actually in love with him. And then you sprinkle that into your conversations with people. I had a conversation with somebody I love dearly, a guy in my life, going through a really hard week this week. I didn't know if he wanted to hear anything about Jesus, but I just sprinkled in some stuff about how Jesus had been there for me as we talked. I listened well, but I sprinkled in some stories about Jesus. And by the end of it, he was open to taking another step with Jesus. You have to have that hope to actually use your mouth and say the name of Jesus and talk about how has Jesus been there for you. You have to live it, but you do have to speak it for people to respond, okay? So we're going to end in a different way than we normally do. We're going to end in each of our rooms and on Facebook with kind of splitting up into our own areas. And we want to do a time to just let somebody else in this room, somebody else wherever you're at, give a testimony about, just like Heather B. did, what has Jesus done for you? Because that's the power that we have. Is it like Jesus has shown up in our lives? And when we think about that during this Christmas, then we're ready to share, okay? And so if you're down in the fellowship hall, you can turn me off. If you're in the youth chapel, you can turn me off. Your Sunday school teachers are going to show you kind of what to do. If you're on Facebook, call somebody and either give a testimony or ask them for a testimony, depending on how you're calling, you know? But interact, okay? If you're at home in your kitchen or whatever, you're still in your pajamas, but call somebody and tell them something Jesus has done for you, okay? So you can turn off our Facebook feed. If you're in here with me,